Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being with you. We thank you for traveling mercies this morning. Father God, we have sung our praises to you and brought our faults before you. And because every promise you've made this year in Christ Jesus, we trust that you have forgiven us. Father God, it's time now for you to feed us with the milk from on high. I am just an empty vessel that you have chosen to use this morning. Speak through me, your children are ready to hear you. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31b and 34a. That is our text for this morning. And the theme is the way of the cross. I always like the old traditional text thing. Because I always say that if you forget everything that I say, remember that one thing, the text. Just remember, the Lord God promised to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Our readings, lectionary readings for this morning, for today, take us through a journey from the wilderness to the cross at Calvary and the present dispensation of grace in which we live. In our Old Testament reading, the Lord God told the Israelites that in spite of their intransigence, he will still make a new covenant with them, a covenant in which anyone who wanted to know the Lord, who wanted to seek the Lord, could find and know him. In the epistle reading, which is generally believed to have been written by St. Paul, he tells his audience that under the new covenant, Jesus only went to the Holy of Holies once and for all, not with the blood of a lamb, but with his own precious blood. And so he made the ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus assures his listeners in our gospel reading that he came into the world for the sole purpose of reconciling creation to the Creator, the Lord God. Now the journey to Calvary began with the call of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5, the Lord God saw the wickedness of his creation and regretted having made man. And so in verse 7, he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. That sounds painful, doesn't it? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Lord said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And in verse 31, he said, God saw everything that he had made, and it was very, very good. Now, just think about it. The Lord God made things that he thought were very, very good. And then he saw something about it and wanted to destroy it. If you have ever made something with your hand, embroidery, a garden, a piece of furniture, or something that you created with your own hand, you can imagine the pain the Lord God was going through when he made that announcement. In our school days, back in Ghana, we used to make things, art and craft, with our own hands. Sometimes they weren't very, very good, but they were things that we had made. And we loved them. Now, just think about the Lord God destroying what he had made with his own hand. But dismayed as he was, he didn't want to destroy his handiwork completely. And so he found Noah and decided to give his creation a second chance. That is the way of the cross. Man's persistent disobedience and God's love and mercy. So the Lord God made the first covenant with Noah. And he said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. And so he gave the sign of the rainbow. And he said, "Each time you see the rainbow, remember that I will never destroy the world with flood again." Now, you think that having seen the wrath of the Lord in the floods, the people that were spared will behave differently. No, they didn't. Within a very short time, they had begun to thumb their noses at the Lord God again. And so the Lord wanted to do something, but he's still God. This time around, he found a man called Abram and promised him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3c, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." This was confirmed with a covenant in Genesis chapter 15, where the Lord said in verse 7, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." Now, the Lord will go on to make two more covenants in the Old Testament before the new one in our Old Testament reading. The third covenant was the Mosaic covenant in Exodus 19, followed by the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The fifth covenant of the Old Testament was the promised new covenant that we read about. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, of these five covenants, only one of them has been annulled, and that is the Mosaic covenant. And the reason why it was annulled was because it was a conditional covenant. The people were required to do something. If you look at the other covenants, they were just unilateral. In our world, usually when we make contracts, it's binding on the two people. Everybody is supposed to play their part. If you default, you are in trouble. Now, in the case of the Lord, it was just unconditional. But this particular one had a condition and said, "Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, that was their condition. Naturally, the people of Israel did not keep their part of the Mosaic covenant, not the Davidic one as well. If you read through Leviticus, when you have time, it's difficult, but when you have time, read through it. You immediately realize why the people of Israel could not keep that covenant. From chapter 4, verse 1 onwards, we read that if a person sinned unintentionally against any of the commandments, not that you intentionally did it, like a young friend who said, "I'll just not take any instruction." I mean, this was unintentional. You have to redeem yourself by blood sacrifice. And chapter 5, verse 1, there's something very, very interesting. That one says, if you hear somebody making an oath, swearing an oath, and you don't report it, when it is found out, not only the person who swore the oath, but you who heard it and didn't report it, you are guilty as well. And so you have to make a blood sacrifice. So it was difficult. It was difficult for them to keep it, even if they wanted to. It was difficult. Now, at the end of the year, the chief priest had to sacrifice for the people. And it involved two lambs. One of them, they confessed their sins and set it into the wilderness to take the sins of the people away. The second one was slaughtered and the blood taken to the Holy of Holies to complete the atonement. The priest himself had to confess his own sins. If he left one, when he went there, he would die. So it was difficult. The Lord God loves the sinner, but he hates his sins. And it is difficult. It is serious. Christian friends, when these days we have found new ways of describing our wrongdoings, thieving, stealing from state coffers and our word is misappropriation. Adultery is misstepping. Things like that. No, it is serious because remember that Moses was the only person that ever spoke to God. But because he disobeyed God, the Lord God showed him the land of Canaan. He said, that is the land. You will see it, but you will never enter it. And so you and I, ordinary mortals, every in our world, we have to be careful. And the only solution is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord invoked the new covenant. The word became flesh and dwelt among men. See, God is mystery. And the only peeping hole to God is Jesus Christ. Jesus came and demonstrated who God is. The love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. In our epistle reading, St. Paul told his people that there was no longer the need for the blood sacrifice that was required under Mosaic law. Because just as soon as it was performed, they went back and did the same wrong things. And so the Lord had brought his own son to pay the ultimate price. And so they didn't need the blood sacrifice anymore. So on the eve of his crucifixion, our Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 14, verse 24, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." When on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." The curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. It meant that a new highway had been opened between God and creation. We no longer need a priest to intervene for us. Yes, they preach to us. They give us communion. They show us the way. But they are helping us. They are helpers. They do not have to go to the Holy of Holies anymore. We can go to our Father God directly because Christ has paid the ultimate price. He did not go with the blood of a lamb. He went there with his own blood, paid the price you and I owed but could never pay. The ultimate sacrifice has been made. And so St. Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for anyone in Christ." You don't have to do anything. Just believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. The price has been paid in full. Someone said, "If you don't go to heaven, don't blame Jesus. Jesus has done the work, the major work. All we have to do is to believe in him as Lord and Savior." Jesus' invitation to all creation is still open. He came for that purpose. It was solely for the purpose of bridging the gulf that had developed between God and creation in the Garden of Eden that our Lord Jesus Christ came. And so the cross is a bridge for you and I to walk freely to the Lord. We don't need to pay anything. It is free. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. My dear brother, my sister, do you have the power? Have you received that power? Have I received that power to become a child of God? If today you hear his voice, do not delay, because tomorrow might be too late. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that in spite of ourselves, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to come and die a shameful death, so we might be able to come to you without hindrance. You continue to call us, and we continue to disobey. Father, we pray that you help us soften our hearts to come to our Lord Jesus Christ and receive this free salvation that you have offered. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.